Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Pastor was there a few days ago dealing with the Beatitudes. This is where Christ was at. Where they're at, the Mount of Beatitudes, is a very beautiful place. 2 years ago, I actually had the privilege to preach a message there when I was in Israel. And the scenery there is just unbelievable. I can encourage you to go to websites and begin to look at that, but it really does not do us justice unless you've actually been there. And the greatest view that I had while I was there, I just imagine as Jesus was teaching his disciples at this point in time, was the background in front of him. That makes sense. The background in front of him is the Sea of Galilee. And what a beautiful picture. And so we're going to go on from here tonight, and we're going to begin in verse number 43. We're going to go down through verse number 48. I'm going to have you turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 3 as well, because we're going to get there and read some scripture there. And we're just going to have God work and bless in the time that we have with one another. But before we go on, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for allowing us again to be here. Sweet Holy Spirit, I pray tonight that you would just begin to work in our hearts. And I pray that you would begin to challenge us from your word. Lord, I know a lot of us have read your word many times, but Lord, there is something new every time we open up your word. So God, I pray that that would take place tonight. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. Let's go ahead and begin reading verse number 43 down through verse number 48. Jesus is speaking here. It says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Verse 44 is very key to this. He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Verse 44 is where I get my outline. I have 4 points that I'm going to be going over tonight, and so if I don't say these out loud, you can actually read in this verse. You'll find all 4 points. They're quite obvious, and we're going to deal with these things. How to overcome being hurt. People have feelings, and feelings get hurt. We've all been there. There isn't a person here tonight who hasn't dealt with the fact of their feelings being hurt. We all deal with it, but there is a proper way for us to handle those situations when they arrive. So often when those situations arrive, when somebody offends us or hurts our feelings, our natural instinct is to retaliate back towards them. As I begin to think about this last few days and begin to study this, I begin to look back on my childhood a little bit, and I'm talking about growing up in school, being around kids, things of that nature. But just like me, most of us in here can probably look back and begin to recount how many times our feelings were hurt. There's a couple of boys that were in our school. I learned to love them. But before that all took place, they had something within them of a little bit of a rebellious attitude. And for whatever reason or another, they thought it was funny to begin to pick on other people. And their form of picking on other people was making fun of them. And when you begin to make fun of people, what generally happens is your feelings get hurt. And that happens quite often, especially as you're growing up. Words hurt you. And so I begin to recount those things. I still hear some of the names in my mind of what they called me. They will never leave me because it's something that I was very hurt by. And that just happens. I've learned to get over it, obviously. I learned to forgive them. That's obvious. But that still happens. And so usually the way we get hurt, or the way we hurt others, through the very words that come out of our mouths. Unfortunately, the words that come out of our mouths, we can't go back in time and change those, which is why you and I, when it comes to those situations, we need to take into choosing our words carefully, because words do hurt. And just ask your wife. You said something negative, guess what? It hurts your wife's feelings. Ask your daughter, your son, you say something negative towards them, guess what happens? It hurts their feelings. I said something a few weeks ago that I didn't think was that bad. And the next thing I know, I see out of the corner of my eye my daughter tearing up. And for what I said, it began to hurt her feelings. And so we need to be careful when it comes to choosing our words, when it comes to talking to other people. So I had you turn to the book of James chapter 3, and let's go ahead and turn there real quick. James chapter 3, and we're going to read a lengthy portion of Scripture here. But in James chapter 3, it says, verse number 1, it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Have you ever seen the stern of the ship? It turns the boat. It causes it to go into any direction. It's amazing. Just a small thing can control a ship. Verse number 5, it says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter of a little fire kindleth." And it goes on. It begins to describe what a tongue is and what a tongue can do. In verse number 6, it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it be that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison." So we see here, even in Scripture, how powerful the tongue is and what it can do to other individuals. So how can we overcome by being hurt by the tongue of an individual? Well, first of all, what do we need to do? We need to control our tongue, not to go back and try to retaliate, try to get back at somebody. That's not what we are supposed to do, but that's what we do because we are human. And I can recount on many different occasions growing up in the household we did with three brothers. I can't even get this straight. How many siblings do I have tonight, Christy and Jeff? Three brothers and two sisters. You guys don't even know. You can't even answer. They're in their 50s now, or close to their 50s, so they're struggling with their memory a little bit. Anyway, I got all sidetracked now. Well, that came to bite me, didn't it? Oh, well, hey, so we're still in the book of James, chapter 3, verse number 8. We need to read these over again so I can get my train back on track. We need to control our tongue. We want to retaliate to get back at folks, but that's not how we are supposed to act. In order for a horse to be controlled, what happens? They put a bit in the mouth of the horse, and by doing so, you're able to cause that horse to go into the direction that you want it to go. Without the bit in that horse's mouth, do you think that horse is going to do what you want it to do? It's not going to do that. Matter of fact, it has a mind of its own, and you don't put that bit in its mouth, and you get on that back of that horse, guess where that horse is going to go? Wherever he wants to go. And he's going to run as fast as he wants to run. He's going to trot as fast as he wants to trot. He's going to do what he wants to do. But when you put that bit in there, you're going to be able to control him. And what the Bible says about the tongue isn't pretty. It's actually an ugly picture. And we allow our mouths to say hurtful things, And because of that, we allow that to take place, and we hurt people's feelings in the process, which is why there needs to be more careful consideration about the words that you and I use on a daily basis. Because words do matter, words do hurt. That's the honest thing about it. Jesus, while on the Mount of Beatitudes, he was able to put into words on how we are to handle others when they are being hurtful towards us. There is a proper response when that takes place. He starts off in verse number 43 on how we are to love. There had been some wrong teaching here, apparently, and Jesus goes on. He says, "Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Then he follows up and he goes, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." So he goes on and he gives us some important structures. He says, "Ye have heard," in verse 44, he corrects what they have heard in the previous time. Before I even begin to go further here, I must acknowledge the fact that none of us here has ever handled every situation correctly. None of us have. None of us have ever said the right words all the time. We're all guilty of being condemning with our mouth. We're all guilty of being hurtful with our mouth and all those things. With this being said, let me back up here. We've all offended someone at some time or another, and we need to control our tongue. There is God's way that we need to handle things, and his ways are correct. And so when you come across a situation, don't just retaliate right away. You need to seek God in this matter, because your words do matter. Not everyone is liked. I've come to this conclusion even in my own life. Not everyone is liked. We all have some type of an enemy out there or somebody who can care less about us. But it's how we respond to those who might think about just wishing us away in their lives. There is a correct response to those people. Tonight in Scripture, we have 4 points that Jesus himself gives us to those who either hurt us or offend us, or who might even be considered our enemies. And we have those people that are out there. And no one's liked 100%. We would like to live in a fairy tale land and think that's the case, but not every one of us is liked by everybody. The first one that is given to us in Scripture is in verse number 44. And here is our response to those people that hurt us, that offend us, and might even consider us enemies. And the first one that is given to us in verse number 44, he says, "But I say unto you," say with me, folks, "love your enemies." That's a very hard thing for all of us to do, because naturally, when we have an enemy, the first thing that we want to do is go away, not have anything to do with them, part our ways, and not even consider the word love here. But Jesus tells us that we are to address them in this matter, and that is to love them. The opposite of love is what? Is hate. We are not to hate them, but we are to love them. Love doesn't come naturally to us when it comes to dealing with the enemy. That's just the fact of the matter. Well, who is the enemy? The enemy is someone who has said something hurtful or something offensive, offensive things towards, or maybe a loved one as well. That is what that enemy is at this point in time. So what is being said is, in Scripture, when it says to love your enemies, what needs to take place in your life and my life as well is that we are to have a change of heart. If we're to have a change of heart, that's going to change a whole lot of things for us. It'll change a few things right off the bat. One is you'll have a different attitude towards them. One of the reasons why we hate our enemy is because we naturally have a negative or a bad attitude towards them. And so with a change of heart, will come a change of attitude. And when you begin to have a change of attitude, a different feeling will come in, and then you'll be able to love that individual that Jesus here is telling us to love. Hatred causes us to have ill thoughts towards our enemy. You ever remember when you're on a playground and somebody's done you wrong, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, man, I'm thinking of a way that I can take them out. Man, if I can just throw this rock and it hits just right on the building over here and right off the building and go to the gutter, and from the gutter it'll go right to the head and knock them down. Am I the only one who had those thoughts? Yeah, you guys are laughing. You've had those thoughts as well. We do those things. But hatred, why that comes upon us in our lives is because of a hatred that builds up. It causes us to have those ill thoughts towards him. And then because of that, we begin to think of ways to be harmful to them. And the attitude is, they offended me, and I'm going to offend them, and I'm going to get back at them. A change of heart is taking away that negative attitude to where you're not going to want to have an ill thought towards them, to where you're not going to want to do to them what they've done to you, but you're going to have a love for them. And a love will change so many things about the situation. This is the total opposite. Hatred is the total opposite of the way for us to go. Jesus told us not to go this direction, but love is the way that we are supposed to go. Love isn't being vengeful. Love is being helpful, allowing wounds to heal and relationships to be built. Words hurt, do they not? And words hurt because we forget at times that we have a love for people. And if we can keep it in our minds that we love them, we will begin to have a change of attitude, and we would want to begin to heal those wounds that are there. And then we will seek to have a relationship to be built. He goes on and begins to share with us what loving our enemies can do for them. It can do so much for them, and in a process, it will do so much for you. With having a love in our hearts toward the enemies, towards the one who has hurt you or towards the one that has offended you, because that's how we look at people when they've hurt us or when they've offended us, we automatically put them in the enemy category. How could they? How dare they do these things? Oh, this is what I think of them right now. We put them in that category. But here Jesus says, love your enemies. And then he goes on and begins to explain why we are to love our enemies. And now with that being said, we're able to focus on the second point that he gives us here. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Oh, here's the second point. Say it with me, class. Bless them that curse you. Boy, that's difficult, isn't it? So now the ones that have hurt us, the ones that have offended us, not only does Jesus go out and say, hey, this is how you're to act, you're to react in this way, you're to love them, but now you're to even go even further, and you are to bless them. He goes on and tells us to bless those that curse you. The ones that curse you are your enemies. Now that you've had a change of heart, it is filled with not hatred, but with what? Filled with love. Filled with love. And because of that, we're to bless them, or maybe be a blessing to them. Oh, have you ever thought of that? Me being a blessing to my enemy? Me being a blessing to the one who's actually hurt me, who has actually offended me? Yeah, that is how we are supposed to act towards people. But we go to the opposite direction on many different occasions. We can use these occasions and we can capitalize upon them. Because think about this, we don't represent ourselves. If we're a child of God, we're no longer representing ourselves, we're representing him. And because we represent him, we're supposed to act the way that he acts. And so we are to bless them or be a blessing to them. Instead of having a harsh tongue back towards them, you can, instead of using your words that could be hurtful, you can use your words to be a blessing to them. Your words. can be a blessing to them. In other words, kill them. That's funny as I'm saying that. You're supposed to bless them. Now I'm saying kill them. I just looked at that. But kill them with kindness. Kill them with kindness. You'll see a difference in how they act towards you. Instead of reacting in a negative way, kill them with kindness. Do good unto them. Think about this. It's funny. We ask God multiple times in our lives, throughout the week, throughout the month, to bless us even when we don't deserve it. Even when we're living in a life of sin and we're no longer front-slidden, but we're backslidden, and we begin to ask God to bless us, and we want Him to bless us, and at times in prayer, we demand Him to bless us. But we're supposed to be exactly like God and begin to bless those that don't deserve it. It's exactly the same attitude that we would have on for those who curse us. Bless them with your words. Bless them with your kindness. Bless them. This is important for you to understand, because it's important for me to understand this as well. When somebody has done you wrong, when they've offended you, when they have hurt you, bless them, even with them out them asking you, bless them with forgiveness. Do not allow them to hold you in bondage, but bless them with forgiveness. And then finally with this, as it was already mentioned for the first point, but bless them with your love. Go the opposite direction that they are going. Don't bring hatred towards it. Don't bring harsh words towards it. Don't bring bitterness towards it, but bring love back into it. As we move on from the first point to the second point, now we're to the third point. And as we go along, it says in verse number 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Now, class, read it with me out loud. Do good to them that hate you. Man, that is hard. Jesus here is giving us a life lesson. And so now we're to love, we're to bless, and now we're to do good to them that hate you. The most natural thing for us to do towards us, towards folks that hate us, is to retaliate back with hatred towards them. Again, that's not how we're supposed to act. Are we supposed to try to win them, or are we trying to shun them away from Christ? No, we're trying to win them to Christ. We're trying to bring them to Christ. And so don't retaliate back towards them with hatred, but you're going to do the opposite. You're going to love, you're going to bless. Now the third point is, we're going to do good. What Jesus is trying to get us to see here is your response back to them is crucial. Do you realize people test you? They test you. When they know that you're a believer, they test you. They say things, they set you up in situations, and they want to see how you're going to react. And so how you react is very crucial. We are hopefully, during these situations, are trying to win them to Christ. And the way that you and I handle things at times, think about this. I only know how I am. I don't know how you are and how you handle things when it comes to these type of situations. But how we handle things at times could cause people not to accept Christ, but to reject Him. So how we respond is crucial. And so we need to do good to them. It's obvious. We don't know everyone's background. We don't know why people grow up being hateful. We don't know why people grow up and want to be hurtful towards everybody and be so offensive. But by doing good to those who hate you, they just might need someone to show them that they are worth something. Why isn't this individual treating me this way when I treat him this way? What's so different about him or her? Why are they not so offended? Why are they going the opposite direction? See, how you retaliate is very important. It's very crucial in this situation. So we are to love, we are to bless, we are to do good. The last point is very crucial, and it's hard for us to do. So let's read this again. It says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you." Now, class, read along with me. "And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So not only are we to do the first three steps, but Jesus ends it with this. And I believe that this is the most important thing for us to do, and that is to pray for them. Those who offend, those who hurt, those who we might consider to be our enemies, because that's who we think of people that hurt us. That's who we think of people who offend us. We think of them as enemies. And now Jesus is telling us, "I've given you three important steps that I want you to follow during this time. The last step is something that is very crucial, because if you're not going to do the last step, you're not going to be able to love, you're not going to be able to bless, and you're not going to be able to do good." And so he says, pray for them. When's the last time you prayed for your enemy? When's the last time somebody's upset you and offended you and hurt your feelings like no other, that you got down your hands and knees and began to pray for that individual? And I'm not talking, "God, help me in this situation. You know so-and-so is being a jerk to me." No, I'm talking about getting on your hands and knees and opening up your thoughts and opening up your heart to God and sharing with him exactly how you feel about this individual. And say, "God, he's not just a jerk to me, but God, I really hate this individual. I really despise him. And God, I need your help so that you can show me not to have a hatred towards them, so that, God, you can show me that I can love them and I can bless them and I can do good to them." So we can't do those first three steps unless we do this last one, and that's pray for them. Prayer is the most important tool that God has allowed us to have. He's allowed us to have this thing. It's a direct connection to the Heavenly Father. Aren't you thankful tonight? I told you a little while ago that most of the people that I'll be dealing with are Catholics. And what do we know about Catholicism? They go to Mary so that they can get to God. You and I, we have access to God wherever we decide to take time and pray to him. We have access. And it doesn't matter if Jeff's talking to God at that point in time or Gary's talking to God at that point in time. If I start to go out and talk to God at the same time, guess what? God doesn't get confused. He hears everything and knows exactly what's going on in every individual. As we begin to pray every Sunday night here, you can hear people just lifting up prayers. And occasionally I'll check out on my group for just the time being, because when I hear a bunch of noise, I can't focus. But then I hear all these voices going up to God. One by one, they're going and they're praying and they're saying this, that, and the other thing. And I thought to myself, man, I'm getting confused in this conversation. But you know who isn't? God. He knows exactly what's going on. So it doesn't matter if just one person talking to him or a million people talking to him at the same time. He knows exactly what's going on, and he's paying attention to every single detail. That is amazing. God's given us this tool that we can have this connection with him. And it is what it required us to do for those who persecute us. And that is to pray for them. Get on your hands and knees and be faithful in prayer. And I'm going to give you some things to pray for. First of all, I'm going to ask you to pray for God to remove the bitterness that they might have in their life towards you or towards others. The second thing that I think is the most important thing is you need to ask God to save their soul from hell to heaven. They might be so bitter and so angry and so hurtful for this reason. They don't know or have experienced the true love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And you need to pray in that manner for them. If you're not going to do it, who is? God has called you to be that voice to them at that point in time in life. He is telling us, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Being consistent in prayer will change the individual's heart, and it will change your heart as well. In that prayer, ask God to do this, that He will give you and will give your enemy a love for each other. The best way that you can demonstrate love and blessing and doing good towards your enemy, those who hurt you, is to pray for them. Pray for them. Let God do the work. You don't need to intervene and make things even worse than what they are, but give it to God. Let Him handle the situation. I've learned that every time that I've stepped into a situation and I've tried to fix it, I usually end up making things worse. But when I step into a situation and I seek God, things usually end up going a little bit better. Actually, let me rephrase it. Things end up going a lot better than it would have been if I would have stepped in and tried to do things myself. But we need to step in and begin to love our enemies. See, it says here in verse number 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How do you overcome hurt? How do you overcome those offensive things? By applying these four applications in your life. This is one of the most easiest outlines that I was able to get from the God's Word, because it's right there. I didn't have to think of anything extravagant or flamboyant. All I had to do is, it's right here, 4 points Jesus gives us. But I'm going to give you a fifth one. Be merciful towards them. Show grace the way God shows grace towards you. Amen? That's how you and I are to respond. Let's stand, have our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and we will be dismissed in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this evening that you've given us. God, I just want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you for, first of all, you showing us your love towards us. God, if you're able to do that for people who reject you, Lord, we should be able to, in return, love those as well. God, I pray that you would help us to begin to capitalize upon these opportunities. Don't allow these things to go to waste, but Lord, help us during these times to show a Christ-like attitude and to be able to show the world who you are and why we are able to love and look beyond the faults that we all have. God, I thank you. We love you tonight because you first loved us. We ask it in your name. Amen.